You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage, heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
The following is a paid program. Warning, the views expressed come from men who've spent half their lives in grease-stained overalls, inhaling hazardous fluids. Before taking any advice, consider the source. This program will contain humor of a questionable nature. Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
That one?
Okay. Okay, guys, let's hit it.
Yeehaw.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's Dave Redinger here with Alan Gelman, and the audience is on the table.
Exactly.
Steve is going to be making announcements this morning. Yep, table dancing. Anyways, we're going to have a great show this morning. Jonathan Schlew, car generator guy, he's going to be on with us this morning, and he's going to tell us all the secrets of how the thing works, and if you wanted to build your own, he's actually going to give you some plans, which I think is interesting. Anyways, Dave McLean. I'm sorry, Steve. Dave McLean.
Attaboy, Dave.
From the auto show, he's going to be coming on. Interesting stuff. They're giving away a Honda NSX for prostate cancer. This car is worth $230,000. Wow. That's a wow.
That's a wow,
so
for sure.
So we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about ticket sales, which are already up and way over last year. We're talking about American cars coming down. Interesting conversation with Dave. And this morning, we invite your calls. We've been chastised. We're not taking enough calls, so we decided this show is going to be it. So if you have a car care question, do call in. Call in early, and Alan and I will do the best we can.
Is there a belt with that? That you've been bad?
No, I've been good. Oh, okay. A couple letters.
Just a couple. Well, that's fine.
I like when Steve tries to answer those questions.
Oh, that's funny.
I know.
And if you want to find out more, like Al was trying to read this morning, if you're watching online at DavesCornerGarage.com or AM740.ca, you'll see that Al is wearing a suit and tie.
Exactly.
No. Very nice.
I'm having a formal affair after.
I'm not going there.
No.
All right,
when
this is Dave's. Shush, you're ready. Dave's Corner Garage, the phone lines are semi-wide open because we've been...
chatting.
Yes, sort of, to speak.
And, give us a call right now.
Give us a call.
We'll be right back.
Oh, that's good. Together. Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage, and we invite you to listen to the show online at davescornergarage.com with lots of blogs about your tires.
Yes, I want to wish our supposed-to-be guest, Darren, a speedy recovery.
Yes, Darren, get well. He woke up this morning, I guess, too much traveling back and forth across Canada, and he's got a headache. So, Darren, get better, and we're going to talk about some things going on in Kitchener, New Dundee later on today. Dave, I know you're not wearing your Batman thing, but over to you.
Okay. One of the things that's in the news lately is that General Motors is closing the plant in Oshawa, and approximately 3,000 workers are going to be losing their jobs. And this is after the government gave them millions or even billions of dollars to keep the plant there. Mm-hmm. So they announced yesterday that they're planning to re-educate the plant workers as auto techs. They're going to be paying these guys to reassign themselves as automobile mechanics, mm-hmm. and they're going to the local universities, and they will be working at the local GM dealers. So it looks like they're not leaving them hanging, but it doesn't look like they're going to make the money they would when they were on the assembly line.
Well, what do you think about that, Dave? I mean, just because, you know, someone taught you how to hang a fender on a car doesn't necessarily mean you've got the aptitude to fix a whole car and diagnose it.
I agree. It's kind of like, you know, it's more publicity than it is reality.
That's what it sounds like to me. He says, you know, we're going to take these GM workers and we're going to try to re-educate them and put them in GM dealers. You know, how long are they going to last there if they can't really do what they're supposed to be doing?
And is there a market for 2,500 mechanics?
And then on top of it, you know, it's being, you know, it's a physical job. We all know that. You know, you start schlepping tires and brakes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's more for a young person, not for an older person.
And you guys are still doing it, though.
Well, and paying the price. I mean,
yeah,
you know, I mean, I have younger guys working in my place, but we also have older guys, and it's like, I need a hand. Look at the tires. It's 20-inch tire. You know how much that weighs nowadays?
You know, there's been a lot of talk, Dave and Al, about what's taking place this week. And most some of the guys that were really good on camera with some of the interviews, besides Jerry pounding my chest Diaz, was, you know what, they could see this happening. Like a third of the plant is vacant,
mm-hmm.
and they could see that. So if they're going to try and retrofit, why not maybe a guy like Elon Musk come in here, put your plant in there, put electric cars in there, and get this place working again.
That's not a bad idea.
I'm surprised he hasn't jumped in yet.
You know who might jump in is actually Magna, because he's a Canadian. He has tremendous abilities to manufacture vehicles. They actually manufacture cars for BMW and various other forms of transportation.
They make that car in Aurora. What's the Ford called? The that racing car?
Oh, you got me now. Multimatic.
That's the name of the company, and they put that new Ford sports car together.
Yeah, and listen, while we're talking about it, you know, we're not going to have a debate basically. But if you're listening in Oshawa right now, give us a call. Let me know. Let us know what's going on in there. What else is going on, guys?
Okay, I also got an email from a client that says, you know, I call them clients.
Mm-hmm.
He's putting on steel wheels on his winter tires. Notice I didn't say snow tires, on his winter tires, and the TPS light comes on. So is that really important, he says?
Is it really important? It depends. If you care, it is. I mean, and certainly in the United States, it's the law, but not here in Canada. Yeah, you have to have them in the United States. They have to be working, but not here in Canada. So if you don't care, you know, you drive with the whole winter with the light on.
So is that part of the new free trade deal?
You know that we, you know, I'm down here in Florida.
Yeah, we
actually
know.
Had a cold spell.
Yeah,
it was down into the 30s, and they announced on the television that your TPS light will come on,
mm-hmm.
and you should not put any air in it because as the temperatures rise again, you're going to be overpressurizing your tires.
I think that was silly. Why would they even bother that? I mean, if the light comes on, you know, you're only talking about 4 or 5 pounds. It's not like you're going to overinflate mm-hmm. the tires because most people never check them to begin with.
All right, listen, Dave,
we got a call. We have someone who needs our help desperately. Jenny's in Brampton. They've lost their keys. Jenny, what's going on?
Okay, well, my daughter lost her key, and it's a 2007 GM truck Canyon, mm-hmm. and she has no ignition key. So we didn't know what to do. We went to the GM dealer, and they talked about having to remove the whole cylinder and re-key the truck.
Right.
But then we heard about something called a mobile lost key that will come out to where the truck is, and then they'll, I guess, be able to make a key. Do you know anything about that, and is that really going to work? And it's $400 plus, I think, compared to $1,200, which was the GM quote.
Well, it's too bad you don't have the lock codes because, you know, in a lot of cases, the manufacturer writes down the key code number.
Okay.
I know certainly if you have a Honda or a lot of vehicles, perhaps they didn't do it way back then.
Uh-huh.
When you initially got your keys, and this is where people always forget and don't read it, but they told you the actual code number, and the dealer could actually cut a key from that.
Mm.
I would go with the least expensive way to do it. If the locksmith can do it, by all means.
So a mobile person coming out to where the truck is and making a key will work fine?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Can I interrupt for a second?
No.
You only had one key, not two keys?
Well, there were two keys. But, of course, the one key got lost, and she never got around to cutting a key to match the one, and then lost that one, too.
So what I would have done is phone GM itself.
Yes.
And they'll ask you for identification.
Yes.
And they may be able to supply you with the code.
Where's the code?
There's a code that actually will cut the key.
Oh.
All right. So if you call General Motors, they're going to say, I need a copy of the ownership. You'll email that to them.
Yes.
And they can give you the codes because Honda can do that. I've done that with Honda when I was a service manager.
Oh, my.
And they keep that on file. Also, like the radio codes, for instance. The radios used to be, if you took it out of the car, they were useless because they had a code to get them going again. They always keep record of that. I would do that step first. I would ask General Motors
if that
directly.
Works, you're a genius. Thank you.
Well, don't tell my wife.
No, I really appreciate that information. Okay, I'll try. And if not, then the mobile people coming out, that'll work just as well.
That's right.
Yep. Oh, well, thank you so much. I love your show, by the way.
Thanks, Jenny.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Have a great weekend. And you know what we used to do is we always lose keys.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're so expensive.
Right.
We would make a third key, put in those little boxes inside the trunk.
Right.
You pop it open and...
Sorry, in the trunk?
Yeah.
So how do you get it when the car's locked?
Because it's a new car, so you can open it up, right? It activates it. And then it works. And you can find the key, and then boom, you have to spend
$500. There's machines. Here in Florida, there's machines, I guess all over the states. Mm-hmm. You put your original key in, and it cuts the key and mails it to you.
Make America great again.
Yeah. I think it must not go on there.
All right, good. This is Dave's Corner Garage. The phones are wide open. Coming up shortly, we're going to talk to Jonathan Schlue from Car Generator. And later on, if you want to know what's going on with the auto show for next year, Dave McLean will be on talking about some really cool stuff happening. Canada's number one automotive radio show. You're listening to it. Thanks for that. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. Nice title. Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage. The phone lines are wide open, and we want to take your calls whenever you get a chance. If you're busy doing some Christmas shopping, which a lot of people are, and getting ready for Chanukah, which starts tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Dave and Al, back to you.
You know, there's an article in the National Post about them raising tolls for the Gardner, the Don Valley Parkway, and the 427. And this was discussed back about 2016. The Liberal government turned it down, but now apparently it's back in the woods again. And they're talking about tolling those three highways to make sure they're in good condition, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm basically disagreeing with it, but I'm interested in this conversation.
Well, you know, they have to come up with, we need money to fix the roads, obviously. We have to maintain them. You know, big chunks of the Gardner have been falling off for the last number of years.
Okay, I drive the Gardner quite a bit. Gardner, QEW, and I think it was like 2 weeks ago, they shut it all down for the weekend.
Right.
Which is just lovely for your business downtown. So I drove it like 2 days afterwards. I don't know what they did. Like, they fill in the stuff with a tar. and the whole highway is closed down like for a weekend, and it's falling apart, not just on the bottom, but on the surface of the roads. It's like, you take the ramp from the 427 coming down to the Gardner?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you better hang on, because there are some ruts that are bigger than...
You're in the wrong part of town, because when I come down the parkway, that whole section was redone. It's
beautiful. Must be your taxes, Tax structure.
You know what?
Good.
How old is the Gardner? It must be 50 years old by now.
How old are your socks?
40.
Okay.
So the question is, you know, what really bothers me is they collect taxes on the gasoline, and it doesn't go to the roads. In other jurisdictions, if you collect a road tax on the gasoline, it goes to the roads. Here it goes to all kinds of social things, and it doesn't actually do anything for us, the drivers. So the same thing here. If we're going to collect a toll for these highways, it's not going to go to the highways. It's going to go to something else that they'd have to do.
No question. You know what? But we do have a new money stream coming up, though, with marijuana.
Yeah. You know where that's going to go?
Up in smoke?
Probably. Yeah, that's coming up. Actually, the licensing is December the 17th, and then the stores will be able to get licenses and start opening legally.
Right.
So, but you ever heard that we haven't heard any impaired marijuana things on the news? They just say impaired driving, because apparently they cannot actually prove it's marijuana.
Well, they got to take them to a quiet room, which is an additional drive, and it's all complicated. We've got a call coming in right now. Al, take it away.
Yeah, Lynn and Markham, you got a brand new Ford, apparently. What's wrong with it?
I have, a 2019 Kia Forte, and I sit on a very thin cushion due to a back and leg injury.
Al feels your pain. His back is bad, too.
The problem is when I sit on this cushion, it registers that the airbag for me is not on. As soon as I remove that cushion, the light goes off, obviously indicating the airbag is ready to work if I'm in an accident. We took it back to the dealership, and they said they readjusted it. Driving in it yesterday, the same thing happened. Do you fellas have any suggestions as to what we can do or tell them taking it back?
No, you'd probably have to look at something, you know, quite radical insofar as, now this is for the driver's seat or the passenger seat?
No, it's the passenger seat.
Okay.
The driver's fine.
Well, what they could do is, you see, it basically, for the most part, I think it's just an off and on switch that is underneath the upholstery.
Okay.
There may be a way for them to trigger it, like to wire it so that it's on all the time.
Okay.
You know, again, it's not going to be something that they normally do. They may have to contact head office, but, you know, and again, it's going to be over and above a warranty type of situation, but that's what you're going to need to do.
Alan, there's legality problems here. How the system works is it actually measures the weight that's sitting on the cushion. So if you've got a cushion on top of that, you're dispensing the weight and it's not reading properly.
So yeah, because all I have to do is I just have to pull it a little bit away from my behind, about an inch, and it shows the light goes off and it shows that the everything's okay.
So they will never wire it, as Alan would say, is because say we have a small child in the front seat and that airbag goes off and hurts the kid and they've got a liability problem.
Right.
So your issue is going to be that if they would ever do it, you're going to have to sign your life away, and I doubt they would actually expose themselves because you're not the last owner of that vehicle. Now the next party has lost that ability to turn the switch seats off and on. You're going to have to try different cushions to resolve this.
Okay.
As far as the safety is concerned, we don't even fix seat belts. We just throw them away and buy new ones because nobody wants that liability factor of a seat belt failing or an airbag not coming on when it's supposed to.
Okay.
So bottom line is try different cushions to see if they work. Maybe a wedge-type cushion might be better.
Yeah, see, this one is great because it's very thin and it swivels for me, so it helps me get out of the car.
How about a chiropractor? Yeah. Can you not get your back fixed? No, it's coming up with a solution here, you know?
Maybe Walmart's got a whoopee.
A whoopee?
A whoopee cushion. That could help. Have a great weekend. Thanks for your call.
Good luck.
Thanks, okay, dear.
I hope she gets to the bottom of her problem.
Oh, I couldn't see that coming. This is Dave's Corner Garage. Coming up next, if you're heading into, as we are, winter slowly but surely, this is a great invention that you need to know about if you haven't found out about it before. Jonathan Schlew is in next from Car Generator. This is Dave's Corner Garage. The lines are open. We'll take your calls.
That was a bummer, eh?
Take it easy. No more whoopee cushion jokes. Okay, welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We've got a lot of calls to get to before the hour is out. And we'll turn it over to Dave out down in there where it's warmer than it is here. Go ahead, Dave.
Jonathan Schlew is on the phone, and Jonathan is obviously with Car Generator. And we were talking this morning before the show, and I was telling him about my neighbor across the road. Here's a guy who has a 5-horsepower gas power generator in case the power fails or we have a hurricane. And he says, I've got 5-gallon drums in the garage of gasoline, and the bottom line is when a generator needs help, I've got everything. And I'm going, 5 gallons of gasoline is like a bomb. If that sucker ever went off, oh, no. They're not full. I go to the gas station when the power goes off. And I'm going, but the gas station doesn't work when the power goes off. So his theory goes out the window. So Jonathan's idea is absolutely perfect. It's right on the mark. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning. How are you? How's Florida?
It could be better. All righty. Tell me about, first off, you told me you have stock now. Apparently a ton of stuff came in.
Yes, we had, we went on Dragon's Den and we got a ton of orders, which was amazing and fabulous. And we sold a lot of them, and we're getting another big shipment in the next week and a half, which is great. So some of the people that are waiting for those can expect them to be on the way soon, which is exciting. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you were going to tell us if you do want to do a setup like this, you could do it yourself. But let's talk about how this works.
Yeah, I wanted to share because I thought about it the other day, and the person that's put the most that's the person that has hooked up furnaces to run off a car the most in the world is actually me. So I wanted to share with you what we've done through a couple of years now, learned a lot of lessons, to share with our listeners. If you don't have a car generator and you're stuck and your power is out and you want to do it yourself, I want to share five simple things with you to know to how to do it safely. If you want to DIY it, I just want to share what we've learned. Number one, use a pure sine wave inverter. So that's important so that your furnace, you don't burn out your furnace control board. Furnaces need a very clean, stable power, and use a pure sine wave inverter. Some people have written and said, hey, I can buy an inverter at Walmart for $100. Why don't I use that? Because you'll fry your furnace control board. So that's number one. Number two is pure copper cables. So if you're going to do this, use pure copper booster cables. Ours are specially formulated with a heat-proof control so that they won't melt in the engine compartment. Mm-hmm. So that's the second thing. The third thing is to use a power meter. Always make sure that if you're going to try to do this or if you're going to do it yourself, make sure to keep the voltage in your car above 13.3. As long as you're above 13.3, you're only pulling from your alternator. You're not pulling from your battery, and it will not drain your battery. You're just pulling excess power from your your alternator. Mm-hmm. And now the most challenging things, a reader or a listener called in and said, how about if my garage is underneath my bedroom? Can I, you know, could I hook up an inverter, and would I do this? And I would strongly recommend never run your car in your garage. Never run it near your garage or anything like it. So that's the challenge, is because if you get an inverter from Canadian Tire or Walmart or something like that, how do you keep it dry? Because usually you need power when it's icing or raining or snowing. So the challenge is to keep it dry, and if you leave it under the hood, it'll overheat. So that's the challenge. You have to find a box or hold an umbrella or something. But that's the thing I would say, is make sure to keep it dry. And the last thing is keep it cool. Inverters generate a lot of heat, and that's what we've created in the car generator factor. In the form that we've done, we've got we keep it cool, we keep it dry, we make sure that all those things are all into that thing. So the other thing is, some people have asked, I don't have internet, how can I get one of these things? And our phone number, I just want to give it on the air, is 800-750-4660. Some people that don't have internet have wanted to say that we wanted to order one. So just call us, 800-750-4660.
Beautiful. Al, you wanted to jump in and ask him a question?
No, I was going to say, I mean, we were focusing on, you know, if somebody wanted to do it themselves. And yeah, you could, but there's all these downsides to it. But obviously the easiest thing is go get a car generator.
You definitely could. I just wanted to give some tips, though, in case you do want to try it yourself. That's definitely something you can do. You just make sure that you have to follow those guidelines and make sure you do it safely. And the other thing is to make sure to watch how much power you're pulling out of your car. Mm-hmm. With car generator, we ship it with a furnace connection kit, and we ship it with a power meter, two power meters, so you can tell how much power is coming out of your car and how much you're using.
So. Silly question, John. What if one of the kids decides they want to turn the stove on because they're not aware of this? What would happen if you tried to overload it?
It will actually just simply shut down. And when you're connecting it, you're only connecting it to your furnace, and you're running extension cords, the other things that you need, so it wouldn't actually engage.
Oh, okay.
On that side. A person from New Brunswick actually wrote in this morning, early this morning, and asked, how do I make sure that no one can steal it? And there's a really simple answer. If you look on our website, you'll see that there's a hole in the top where the handle is. We designed it that way. You can just take a simple bicycle lock or cable lock, and you can lock it to your car, so no one will steal it. And besides that, if someone did try to steal it, you'd know within 1 second because your lights would go out. So.
Right, or you could hook up your dog's leash to it, right? And then you get a Rottweiler, and he's going to just sit there and go, rrr.
You know, especially with snow coming, it's sooner or later. If you want to see how this whole thing works, what's your website, Jonathan?
Yep, go to www.cargenerator.com, and we've got lots of great examples. Go to the bottom of the page and see
Barb and Bruce, one of our customers, running their furnace off a 2013 Dodge minivan.
Cool.
Pretty cool.
Listen, thanks a lot for calling in. Have a great weekend. Get your Christmas tree. This is the weekend to do it, right?
That's right.
Wish your lady a happy birthday, too.
It's a present people will love.
All right. We've got Dave McLean coming up before the hour is finished. But new things coming up for the auto show for 2019.
We got Joe in Georgetown. We got Reed in Toronto. We're going to get to those calls.
Right after this. This is
Dave's Corner Garage.
Good man. Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage. And you can check out some blogs on our website, davescornergarage.com, from Land Insurance, Lease Busters, Walkaway, Crown, Salen, and Dave's blogs, too, along with Al. Al, we got some calls to get to right now.
We do. We got Reed in Toronto has got a question for us. Reed, thanks for hanging on the line. What can we do for you? Reed?
Oh, hey, guys.
Hey.
Go ahead, Reed.
Hey, I just got a question about insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So I have my partner's dad is giving us his car, gifting. He's gifting it, I believe, to my partner.
Mm-hmm.
And how about, she's a new driver, and I've been driving for over 20 years.
Right.
What insurance proper is going to be the beneficial for us?
What insurance proper? I'm not sure if I understand what you're saying.
Well, like I'm saying, like, so he's giving the vehicle to her as a gift.
Okay, but now here's the thing: you are transferring the ownership of the vehicle from him to her, correct?
That's correct.
Well, so the insurance is going to have to be in her name.
It would have to be. Can she not just transfer it over to me?
You know what? I don't think so because, I mean, obviously she's going to be the licensed driver. I'm going to guess that they're going to expect that she's going to be the principal driver. But I can't tell you more than that.
Dave, you want to jump in?
Alan? Yeah, sure. First off, as far as transferring father to daughter, there's no tax benefit. Like, in other words, there's no sales tax to pay HST on the value of the vehicle.
Yeah, but it's the insurance question, though.
No, but hang on. When she transfers it to him, first off, he has to pay HST on the car. In other words, he's buying the car from her legally, and he'll have to jump through the hoops. Mm-hmm. Safety check, emissions test, and pay the HST. So whatever
he has to put a safety down on it?
Yes, when she transfers it to you. So
I'm
sorry?
Me. I'm 40.
Fine. Okay. So your insurance cut will be really low. So what you would do is now the car is in your name, your insurance, and she's a secondary driver. And that's right. The right way to do it.
And then we would still have to have an emissions test.
Yes. And you'll also have to have, you got to pay the taxes. What kind of car is this?
It's a 2013 Ford Escape.
Okay. So is the value of the car close to $20,000?
No, it's about $8,000, $7,000.
Okay, let's say it's $10,000 for argument's sake. You're still going to pay 13% HST.
Just all right,
so put that in your equation.
To me.
Yes.
To get
yes.
the lower insurance rate.
Correct.
Because she's a new driver, and I've been driving for so long, I think the insurance company would rather me take the insurance, right?
Right, but then you would have to own the vehicle, you see.
Yeah.
That's the issue.
So the quick fix really is
insurance.
Yeah. The quick fix really is you have to get the car in your name and then get the insurance in your name.
Is it financially beneficial if she just keeps it under her name?
That sounds like the easier thing to do.
Yeah.
All right, Reed, thanks for calling. Good luck.
You.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. Listen, we have got a lot of calls to get to before the hour is out. But coming up next, what is coming up next year for the 2019 Canadian International Auto Show? We're going to talk with David McLean right after this. This is Dave's Corner Garage. Stick around. Dave's Corner Garage is where you are, and we have got Dave McLean on coming in from the Canadian International Auto Show with lots of stuff to tell you about for next year. Dave, go ahead.
Steve, where do you want me to start? There's
we got two Daves. It gets confusing.
Dave or Dave?
There you go.
It's in 2D.
Dave McLean, go ahead, sir.
All right, gentlemen. Well, I guess I got so excited and jumped the queue there because, Dave, obviously you're the important one here. But I was so excited
Thank you.
There's so much to talk about at this year's show. There's such great content to be experienced by everybody at the event. I mean, we've got
We've got different things happening. I think we've made some really strong connections globally this year. We've got the Peterson Museum that's bringing up what they call the L.A. car culture. We have a dedicated presentation from Barrett Jackson coming to the event this year. We've got Auto Exotica that's going to be showing more exotic cars and more unique vehicles than ever before. And I got to tell you something, there are some special vehicles that are going to be there. And the reason why they're there is because Toronto is such a supercar market these days.
You know, Dave, the Peterson Museum is the premier auto museum in North America. Some of those cars are $5, $10, and $15 million.
Yeah, and I think that really speaks to our reputation. It's a lot of these museums don't, call it, hand out their vehicles. They don't let them leave the premises. But the Canadian International Auto Show has a reputation for not only presenting them in a unique environment and creating a great experience, but also, you know, obviously taking care of the vehicles.
Now, when we were talking earlier, you're telling me that ticket sales online are actually stronger than they were last year.
Yeah, they're just about where we were last year, maybe edging a little bit ahead this week. I didn't see the final numbers there on Friday, but I think that's a great sign of for the auto industry anyway, to see that we're tracking with or slightly ahead of last year in terms of overall sales at this point in time. Of course, it's 25% off. If you want to go to autoshow.ca right now, it's the best way to buy tickets. Makes for a great holiday or Christmas stuffer. So I think there's something for everybody there.
Dave McLean, I got a question for you.
Hang on, Dave.
Dave McLean. I put a set of tires, winter tires, on a Hyundai Ioniq yesterday, which is
maybe
the full.
Maybe the first one.
Well, Mike, here's my question. I did drive it. The owner said, hey, if you want to take it out for a drive for a few minutes, go right ahead, which I did, and it was kind of interesting. It doesn't drive like a regular car. So for people who are interested, because, you know, electrical stuff is going to be coming down the road. It's here now. But if somebody's interested in driving an electric car, will they be able to do it at the car show?
Wow, that's a great, great question, putting me on the spot. Yeah, we do. We've got what we call the EV test drive program. So we have an electric vehicle test drive opportunity operating out of both the north and south buildings at the event this year. It seems to be growing in terms of not only vehicle participation from the manufacturers, but it's certainly in consumer interest. Right now, it's a relatively small segment of the market, but certainly it's growing in leaps and bounds.
Well, right, and these aren't experimental vehicles anymore. These are actual produced. You could go buy one right now. So it's a great opportunity to see what it's like, to see what it feels like. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
I want to talk money.
Money.
Yeah, children are free. Kids under 12 are $7.
Dave, you got kids. They're not free. Cost you forever.
Free. Yeah. No, you know what's most important about that is that if you really plan your way down to the auto show, ticket prices haven't increased in years, but it really depends on how you buy them, what programs you buy them through, how far in advance you buy them. But I always say that the best way to do it is autoshow.ca. I mean, as you said, kids under 7 are free, 7 to 12, yeah. $7. There's a youth price ticket. We've got a family admission ticket. Certainly one of the great things this year, and we haven't talked about it that much, we've just released it as a matter of fact, is what we call save $6 after 6. Every evening at the auto show, you're able to save $6 off of full admission, adult admission price. But the beauty of it is, too, is that we're going to have custom events that are happening each and every night after 6 p.m. It's going to be really cool because we're going to create that little extra excitement, call it a show within the show, every night at the auto show.
You know, it's the premier event for the car business. Once the auto show comes to town, business sort of picks up for the year. And the business that we're doing in March is actually created in February by the auto show.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing we all have to remember. We get so caught up in the excitement of the auto show. But our real responsibility at the event is to keep people excited about that new car buying experience, mm-hmm. to propel them into that all-important spring selling season. I mean, we have a duty and obligation to the manufacturers and to the more than 1,100 dealers of the Trillium Automobile Dealer Association to let people know what's available to them in the Canadian marketplace.
Dave, you're going to have a bunch of new cars, new presentations from the manufacturers.
Yes,
the LA show is on right now, but this is
right.
The Canadian premiere.
Yeah, that bodes well for us. We're still collecting all of the data and working with the manufacturers to find out what they're going to be presenting. And, you know, and certainly there are a number of them that hold it right to the wire. And then, you know, we're only weeks out and they say, okay, now we've got this vehicle for you. And that's important to us. It's not just bragging rights, but it's important to get those new vehicles, those unveilings, so that we've got as much to talk about as we possibly can.
It's unbelievable.
And what's the website again, Dave? Because we've got to take a break pretty soon. What's the website for the show?
It's very straightforward, Steve. www, which we don't even have to say, autoshow.ca.
Great.
Go to autoshow.ca and you can see the full lineup of content for this.
And as you mentioned, it's 25 off a ticket, so it's a great stocking stuffer or a luck stuffer, whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
All right. Have a great weekend. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. And Al's going to clarify through one of our insurance guys, expert, the caller that called in before about who should get what and who should take care.
Who's on first?
And what's on second? We are. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be back in a second. Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage, and one of our insurance experts who's on the show once in a while, Freddie Francesco, wrote in. So for the gentleman who called up about who's getting what and whose car is that going to be, here was sort of a précis of what the response could be. Insurance is always in the name of the registered owner. You must disclose if the registered owner is also the actual owner. If not, and you destroy the car, the girlfriend will never be compensated. So, Fred, thanks for that. And if you're listening, still, that's the advice to take. All right? Now, it's we got a few more minutes to take some calls. Al, who did you want to take right now?
We're going to talk to Doug, who's got a question about the price on of a repair. Doug, what you have done?
Hi, guys. Love your show. You're my Saturday morning.
Thank you.
You're my Saturday morning.
Took my wife.
Oh, no, he's singing.
Took my wife's 2014 Dodge Caravan into a dealer when the yellow check light came on.
Right.
Next thing I know, I got a bill for $470 for a $24 thermostat, $270 labor, over $100 worth of diagnostics, and she's mad at me. You could save my marriage by saying, hey, that's par for the course.
Well, here's the issue. You know, your check engine light came on, and you chose to go to the dealer. You know, so the first they have to do a diagnostic to see exactly why the light's on.
Yep.
All right. And what they found was, I forgot the particular code number, but they found that the engine wasn't warming to operating temperature quick enough.
Right on.
You like that, eh?
Yep.
You should be a mechanic.
So once they've seen that, then they know the problem is the thermostat. So first of all, you've paid between $50 and $100 just to get the diagnostic, right?
Over, yep.
All right. Now, at a smaller shop, of course, you know, we may only charge $50, depending on how much time we actually have to spend to diagnose the problem. You know, the same way that, and to be quite honest with you, too, you know, I'm sure the Chrysler dealer knew as soon as they saw the number what the issue was without spending a whole lot of time diagnosing the thing, because thermostats go. It's quite common. So there's that. Their door rate or their labor rate is quite a lot higher than a lot of independent shops, okay? They got a big fancy premises that they have to pay for. And that's why it costs more money.
Well, look, you know, Al, they should have called him.
Harmony in my marriage. Thank you.
Oh, I'm glad I could help. I'm opening up a counseling service, as a matter of fact.
Yes, and, 9 to 5, Monday to Tuesday. Thanks for your call. Have a good weekend.
Dave? You know, I wanted to comment on that. You know, he should have got a call from the service advisor that it's going to come to $400. He shouldn't have just gone ahead with the repairs without authorizing them.
No, you're wrong. They should have called his wife to tell his wife how much it was going to cost.
Exactly right. And so there should never be a 5 o'clock surprise. We know that it's going to cost $400, and here's why it's going to cost $400.
Exactly. If you
should have had that call.
See, normally when you drop the car off, they ask you to sign whether you want that call or not. And he may have said, well, whatever it is, just go ahead and do it. But you're right. You know, this way there is no big surprise. That 5 o'clock surprise can be a stunner. Steve's got something to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, we just wanted to say everybody hi out to everybody who lives in the Kitchener, Cambridge area, the Dundee Doodle Art Studio, which is located in New Dundee, just south of Kitchener, is doing a Santa's workshop on the 22nd of December from 1 to 3:30. So if you got the kids, you can drop them off there. They can make all kinds of clay, model magic, and wood, and mom and dad can go shopping. So that's in New Dundee. It's the Dundee Doodle Art Studio. There you go.
All right. Now let's talk to... We're going to talk to Dave in Dundas right now. He's got a question about engine oil. Dave, what can we do for you?
Okay, I got a 2016 Kia Sedona.
Right.
Got 77,000 kilometers on it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm using regular oil, Castrol oil in it.
Yep.
530. I'm thinking of switching it to a synthetic.
Mm-hmm.
What's the scoop?
The scoop? It's going to cost you twice as much.
Uh-huh.
Do you park the car outside in the wintertime when it's really cold?
No, it's in the garage.
Okay. Well, one of the advantages to synthetic is the car does start easier. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd be pampering it. I mean, there's no downside if other than the cost, if that's what your question would be.
I see.
Are you towing with the car? Do you tow a trailer?
No. No, I just run the Sedona and that's it. You know.
Yeah, there's really no advantage.
No. Okay, because I was looking around and I see there's one outfit that's doing oil changes for $49.95 synthetic. It's a big company.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to mention the name, but...
Well, if you can get the synthetic, how much is their regular oil change? Do you know?
That apparently, that's all they handle is synthetic.
Okay, well, if it's a full synthetic for $49,
it's a good deal.
It's a great deal.
Well, that's what I thought, and this is what I'm wondering, you know, because I'm paying, at the dealer, I'm paying $70 bucks.
Just have to watch, because a lot of times they run the these oil changes as a... as a loss leader, and then once you get there, they try to sell you up on a whole bunch of other services that you may or may not need.
So buyer beware.
So be careful that way.
Okay. Thanks for your call. Have a good weekend, and thanks for calling in. Okay, we're going to wrap up the show shortly. Dave, any last comments you want to make from...
Just quickly, the Car of the Year Awards are coming up in the United States, and the American cars have not hit there except for trucks. In trucks is Chevy Silverado, GMC Sierra, and Ram 1500. No imported trucks have been
we got
put
you.
Up for a car of the year.
Okay.
Anyways, there you go.
And they could have, you know, when they were building those Chevys in Oshawa, too, eh?
That's right. Top plant. One of the top plants in the country is Ottawa.
Bad. We feel out for our listeners and anybody who used to work there.
Absolutely. Listen, we want to thank Jonathan Schlue from Car Generator call in. And David McLean. Next week, Vince Beretta from Walkaway Debt Protection will be in for the entire hour. On behalf of Al, Dave down south, thanks for having us on and have a great weekend listening to Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be back next weekend. Ciao.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.